Rosh Hashanah. And so that would be, this Psalm 47 would be a typical thing, and it was the call for everyone to come and worship God. This is really a psalm of praise, and he actually tells you how to do it. We'll get to that in a moment. So he starts off, he says, "Oh, clap your hands," and notice the refrain. This is why we know that this is not just talking about an earthly king or something that happens on earth, but he's talking about the Messiah, because he continues, says, "Clap your hands, all peoples." And then later on it says, in the end of verse 2, "A great king over all the earth." Not just for the people of Israel, not just for one certain people group, but actually he is the king over all the earth, and that's why this is a foreshadowing of the Messiah and what he's portraying, what he's laying out here. So he starts off and says, "Oh, clap your hands." And so this is an act of praise that you can do without any determination of language. We can all clap our hands. And clapping our hands is a sign. Well, okay. In Jewish tradition, clapping our hands has two functions. One, it's praise. The other one is derision. So there are instances where people clap, they clap at each other, which means that they're angry or upset or mad at each other. But obviously, in this context, this is the happy clapping. This is the kind of clapping that is joyful. And so we learn first off that worship or praising God actually has no language barrier at all. You don't need any language to clap. You don't need to know any words actually to clap. And so he starts off and he's saying, all the peoples will do. They'll clap. It'll be regardless of language. Shout to God with a voice of joy. And so there should be an exuberance that takes place here as we worship the Lord. There should be some joy. This is so prevalent. And I remember early on, I was really challenged with this joy. I went to a Christian university. I went to church once in a while, but I was not a Christian. And I went to a school. It was part of the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal denomination. And obviously, I made a lot of friends, but mostly in the basketball community. I hardly knew anyone else outside the basketball community. And there was a guy that I used to play ball with, an African-American guy, and he used to sit in the front row of chapel. We had chapel three times a week. And I kid you not, every single chapel, this guy was dancing. I mean, he was just like having the time of his life. And in the beginning, when I sat in the back and I watched him, I was really offended. I'm just being honest. I was really offended. It's like, why is that guy dancing? Like, church is not the place to dance. You know, go to a club or something, you know? And I had these ideas about what decorum, what proper church decorum was. And I got really offended. And then as I kept watching him, and this is like over a period of a year, I started feeling jealous. I was like, oh, I wish I had the same kind of freedom that this guy has. And once I got to know this guy, it was even more like I wanted what he had. He had so much joy. Reminding of David when the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem, and he was dancing with all of his might. And this brother ended up becoming a good friend of mine during that time. And I mean, just learned a lot about worship from him. He was just uninhibited. There was joy inside of him when he worshiped God, where most of the students that I saw were just doing it as a ritual. You know, I come to church. Maybe you grew up in church, so you know at certain times you have to raise your hand, and so very, very methodical. Just raise your hand, but there's clearly no joy. I mean, if you think about it, we're worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for what he's done for us. And so, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. You know, we tend to get more exuberant watching our favorite football team, baseball team, basketball team, than we do our team in heaven. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so why? Because for the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth, not just for the people of Israel, but for everybody. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. The glory of Jacob is referring to the land of Israel. Whenever you hear that phrase, that's what it means. The glory of Jacob, is, like the verse before, is the inheritance, is the land. And he says that he chooses, he's given us this land. Now he's talking to the Israelites here. And in verse 5, God has ascended with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. The trumpet was the loudest instrument, and obviously it would be used in wars. If you don't know, the trumpet, there was no trumpets there. What they're talking about is the shofar. It's the big ram's horn. And so the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. Now, obviously, this is not just talking about these. This is now we're getting into Gentile inclusion in this place. For the shields of the earth belong to God. The shields, the translation actually is the strong ones of the earth. And so this is an allusion to angels, particularly guardian angels that cover God's people. And he is highly exalted. So like I shared in the beginning, this basically is a psalm of how to praise the Lord, how to worship and praise God. So this is how we do it. Number one, we praise him cheerfully. We are meant to clap our hands. We're meant to shout with the voice of joy. And so when we worship God, and so I want you to think about this, when you come and when you worship the Lord, it could be in service, it could be in your house church, it could be as you're walking around, as your home, whatever it may be, that the psalmist tells us that when we praise God, when we worship God, we should worship him cheerfully. There should be joy. And not necessarily because your circumstances are joyful. It should be joyful because he deserves it. Because he has sent his son and paid the price. I mean, whatever punishment, it's been eliminated because of Christ. And that should give us reason for celebration and joy. He also tells us that praise should be universal. It shouldn't just be the people of God. We know that the animals praise God. We know the birds do. We know that even stones cry out, you know, if they could, unto the Lord. And we understand this, but because he says it's for all the earth, all peoples. And so praise should be a universal achievement or a universal action that takes place. He also tells us that when we praise him, we should praise him vocally. We should praise him with our voice. He tells us, sing praises. And so it's not just our bodies that are involved in this, it's actually our voice. And see, this is why this is so important. Because remember, the way that God operates, we don't have a place in Christianity. We don't worship a thing, or there's no idol or graven image or none of these things, but the way God communicates, the way we communicate, the way we relate to God is through his voice. He speaks and we hear. In that same way, the way that we approach God is we speak and God hears. And so there's something about speech. That's why the Bible tells us over and over again, be careful of our speech. Because this is the primary way that we connect and communicate with God. Worship needs to happen vocally. That we need to say something. We can't just stand there. And it's appropriate sometimes for silence and those things. But when we're talking about worship, that we're meant to do it vocally. We're also meant to do it frequently. This is something we do all the time. Notice verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. It's this constant, almost repetitive, over and over and over again. And so worshiping God, singing praises to God is not meant to be a singular action, but something that we should be doing frequently, over and over and over and over again. And because, I mean, it does something to God, obviously does something very deeply to us as well. And so we're meant to do this very, very frequently. And the last one here is that we're meant to sing praises and offer praises to God intelligently. Intelligently. So if you read verse 7, it says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm." The idea of skillful psalm is not talking about skillful musically. It's talking about a song with understanding. It's a song that is truthful. It's a psalm that is intelligent. And so when we worship God, we also must worship Him intelligently. In that way, when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and they're talking about, and she's trying to get to this whole idea of where to worship, and Jesus says, it's not this mountain, it's not this place. He says He desires His people to worship in what? Spirit and truth. There has to be that place of intelligence that's a part of it. He says He desires worship, people that will worship Him in spirit. This is the all the emotions and all these things, but also in truth. And so this idea that sing praises with a skillful psalm. Sing praises, sing intelligent praises to God. You know, don't sing, in a way you can say, don't sing songs that just don't make any sense whatsoever. You know, don't sing songs that don't lift up God. And I mean, can I just be a little bit grumpy old man, you know, for a moment here? Sometimes we sing songs that are so focused on us that I don't know if it's even worship, right? If you actually really look at the words, the song is so focused on me, so focused on my feelings, on my actions. And sometimes you wonder, like, is this really worship at all? Because praise, worship, should really be focused on Him. It should be about Him. And I find myself, in my own quiet time, in my own place, just kind of reverting back to kind of the simple, more simpler songs. You know, one of my favorite songs actually was written by my pastor at that time, you know, years and years ago. And the words are so simple. It just says, the title of the song is called "Isn't He." You guys ever heard this song, "Isn't He"? It's written by John Wimber. It's so simple. It's, "Isn't He beautiful? Beautiful, isn't He?" That's the whole song. I mean, but it's so, because it's so true. Yeah, it's not about me. It's not like, oh, I will worship, I will bow down, I will do. And don't get me wrong, that's all fine and everything. But who's the center of that worship song? It's me. I'm the one doing this. I'm the one doing that. And I long for, you know, it's kind of the older songs that's really is about God. Isn't He beautiful? Beautiful, isn't He? Prince of Peace. You know, and the song goes on and on. It's just so, he's just beautiful. It's about Him. It's not about me. And so worship at the core has to be intelligent. It has to be truthful. It has to be about Him and not about me in this way. It can't just be about my actions. You know, I know I'm deriding most of the songs that we sing in this modern age, unfortunately. But there is something. It has to be intelligent. We have to, when we praise Him, we should praise Him cheerfully. We should praise Him, it's universally, it's all the peoples. We should praise Him vocally. We should use our voice. God is interested in the things that we say. That's why prayer is so important. We should worship God, praise Him frequently, over and over and over and over and over again. And we should praise Him intelligently. I know this puts a lot of pressure on Sam this morning to pick a worship song for us. he's confident. He's got one. Praise the Lord. Why don't you come up, Sam? And so let's do that. Let's praise Him joyfully. Let's praise Him universally. We're doing this. The whole earth will one day worship and bow before the King of all kings. Let's praise Him vocally. Let's do it frequently. And let's do it intelligently. Let's make it about Him and not about us. And as Sam leads us this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit challenge the how, the why, and the way that we worship the Lord.
The splendor of
David song. Let's keep that in our hearts. Let's continue to praise the Lord. Praise Him because He's worthy. Praise Him because He sent strong ones to cover and guard us. Praise Him because He sent His Son to pay the price that we should have paid. And praise Him for our families, our church. There's so many reasons to praise the Lord. And so this morning, as we start our day, you know, let's praise Him. Let's honor Him. Let's praise Him now with our prayers. Let's lift up and let's not make it about us. You know, forget our prayer requests for now. Let's just lift up Jesus higher and higher. Well, let's praise Him right now. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. For our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Through non-cancer-related illness, let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. put our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Sophia, for Jungmin and Hyunjin. Ask the Lord to continue watch over our church there in Tokyo. Let's pray for India and Kelly. Let's pray that her business and her mission project would really take off and God would continue to add to their number. I pray for Angela here in Hong Kong that she would continue to pursue God in the dream that God's given to her. And let's lift up Cambodia. Pray for Oasis House. Pray for Pastor Jenny Oh in the center there. Ask God's hand to be with them. And let's lift up. Pray over our missions council. Let's ask God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation to really lead our church in our mission endeavors. Our local outreach ministries, Agape Homey, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, and SP Lights. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and the ones that are able to go on outreach, that it would be full and full of life. Let's just ask for God's hand in an effective ministry. For SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord to be with us and with our families. Pray for Chris and Amy. Pray for John and Ayoung. And let's lift up Jason and Nikki, all three couples that have kids right now. Let's just pray for just the grace and protection over their families. Cover our gatherings tonight. Let's pray for the IP team as they pray. Let's pray for just the Spirit of God to flow through them to pray God's purposes. Let's lift up our college ministry, SPU. And since Pastor Andrew has been in Canada attending to his dad, I think Grace and other leaders are stepping up and just cover them. Let's pray for the youth group as well, that they would gather together and really draw close to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for, Lord, the hows and the whys, God, that we worship you. Lord, we recognize, God, that we need to worship you with joy, God. We need you worship you cheerfully, God, frequently, Lord, vocally, God, universally, Lord, and intelligently. But I pray that this house, God, this church, would worship you in spirit and in truth with all of our heart, God. Lord, that we would clap for joy, God. We would sing praises unto you, Lord God. That we would bow down before you, Lord. God, let our praise, Lord, be pleasing to you. We thank you. Help us today, the whole day, God, to be mindful to worship you and only you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend for our services.